He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday, September the 5th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And there's some pretty dramatic moves in the market today, not so much in the equities market, but in the bond market, which we'll get to in a bit. Do we have a jobs problem here in the U.S.? Is that finally starting to show up, which could be an indicator, an early indicator, possibly, of a recession down the road? The Dow is up 37, 39 right now after a weak jobs report. It stands at 45,660. The S&P 500 is up 8 points right now, although we're giving back some of the early gains. Not a lot, but some. The NASDAQ is up 83 right now. Very good report from Broadcom last night. It's at 21,781. The big news is the bond market. The 10-year's hitting 4.08. 4.08. We haven't seen a print that low in quite some time. In fact, now it's 4.07. Gold, a new all-time high, 3,637. And Bitcoin up to 2,200 to 112,888. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite's in-house, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And there's some pretty dramatic moves, as I said, in the markets here today after a weak jobs report, which we'll talk about first. 22,000 jobs were created. I kind of think, Barry, it's my own opinion. You know, they've got a new guy that's counting, and hopefully he can't be political because Trump appointed him. If anything, he'd be padding the numbers if he was political. I think they're just getting rid of all of the bad numbers all at once, sometimes like companies do. But the three-month average is down around 25,000. That's really low. Are we starting to see a weak jobs market, Barry Kite?
Well, it's interesting when you look at where we're at and compared to, you know, say the Biden years, right? Well, you know, in Biden's, you know, you had some of these job reports, not only were maybe some of the numbers being juiced, but they were being juiced based on the fact that we had a bunch of folks that were crossing the border that shouldn't have been crossing the border, and they get here. And obviously, they have to, figure out ways to live, and they work, and
do we count those people? We're still counting them.
Yes.
The new people aren't arriving.
Right. Okay. So those ads. I mean, that's one. You know, that's one piece of the cool down. That's kind of hard to gauge. And then, like you said, also from the counting standpoint, right? That's the second piece of it.
And, yeah, there was some fuzzy math.
Yeah, in AI. I mean, you look at. I think I saw something where, you know, new college graduates, I think, are having kind of the toughest time to get those kind of entry-level jobs than they've had really, you know, in any time that wasn't a recession. And so, you know, you're kind of in this restructuring, you know, economic restructuring, too, whether it's global trade or whether it's immigration or whether it's AI, right? And so, you know, good news is they're positive, right?
Yeah, all those people coming across the border, the floodgates were open. That certainly padded the jobs numbers quite a bit. And now we're more at reality here, I suppose. The markets did hit. The S&P hit a new all-time high yesterday at 6,502. The NASDAQ hit a new all-time high yesterday. And, of course, it's hitting a new all-time high today, as is the S&P 500. The NASDAQ's closing in on 22,000 once again. But really, the big number that jumps off the board at me today is the 10-year at 4.07%. That's good news for people that want to borrow. That's good news for people that want to lend. That's good news for people that want to buy a car or buy a home. Interest rates are finally starting to budge, and they're headed down quite a bit. You know, when it looked like we were going to get over 5% earlier this year, now all of a sudden it looks like we might get under 4%. This is the closest we've been to that in a long time. We're at 4.07. I was really shocked when I saw that, but it's because of the weak jobs report, where we're now in a phase of bad news is good news. You know,
you've crossed the precipice, right? I mean, that's what it seems like, for sure.
You could certainly make the argument for a strong argument for a 50 basis point cut at the next meeting, but there's no way that's going to happen with Jerome Powell at the helm.
Here's some interesting things just from the percentages this morning. So right now there's basically a 0% chance they don't cut, right, at this next September 17th meeting.
Never say never.
Well, we got an 88% chance of a quarter point cut, and now the market's actually priced in a 12% chance of a 50 basis point cut.
That's the camp I'm in.
So.
But I don't see it happening, but that's
right.
The case. I'd put a few bucks on it. What the heck?
But that was literally 0%. I mean, not even, you know, literally yesterday
was
basically 0% of a 50 basis
point. And gold loves rate cuts. Gold is it celebrating. Gold smashing through more barriers today and hitting new all-time highs. Gold is at $3,637. Wow. Silver is at $41.91, so your precious metals are doing well. But the unemployment rate now is 4.3. I saw 7% in Canada, however. You know, Canada's got a lot of, they're on the wrong side of the trade war, for sure. He definitely took out his angst on Canada. They're still at 25%. As far as I can remember, along with Mexico at 25%. And he did do a deal, finalize a deal with Japan. They seemingly get favorable treatment. They're at 15%. But, you know, that means Toyotas and Nissans and the rest are at 15% now. The bad
and that's
news
got
is,
actually signed, right? I mean,
yeah, that's
like
that it. That, unless a federal judge in Hoboken, New Jersey, undoes it, right?
True.
But South Korea is at 25, and they're a little bit upset. You know, they're a pretty big car manufacturer themselves with the Kias and the Hyundai from South Korea. They're at 25%.
Yeah.
Right now, and they're crying a little bit. This is good news for Japan. It's good news for the coffers of the U.S. Treasury. Every car that's sold will bring in 15% to the U.S. government, and every South Korean car that's sold will bring in 25% to the U.S. government, unless those tariffs are deemed unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in the coming days and weeks, whenever that is. But I'm sure they're going to fast-track that because of just how important it is. Okay, unemployment rate of 4.3, you have to put that in perspective. That is really, really low, although it does edge up a little bit. Average hourly earnings gain 0.3% month over month. That's good. Wages are going up a little bit. The labor force participation rate, I like to see this going up. It's now up to 62.3% from 62.2 in July. Average weekly hours, 34.2 versus 34.3 consensus. And
that's
anyways,
less than 3 days for us, Bill.
Yes, and you've got you know, that week in San Francisco, we're not going to be working 34 hours. We'll get that in 3 days.
Yeah, maybe get it in 2 days.
Man, I'm telling you. Okay, so anyways, and they also revised lower. That to me is an indication that they're cleaning up the books. They're getting rid of all the bad debt off the books. everything, and I think it's going to start looking up from here, especially after we get the rate cut, okay? Then I think you'll see the jobs, the market improve a little bit. But, you know, you never know. We've had a streak of three bad months in a row. And NFL season is now underway. BetMGM starts off the football season with a new app. I didn't go onto the app. I didn't look at it. The new look. Aggressive customer promotions. We'll have to see how those gambling stocks are doing today. Flutter, DraftKings, MGM, which once was a movie company, right? Now it seems to be more of a gambling company. And the Dallas Cowboys are in last place already at 0-1. And the defending champion Eagles are out to defend their title once again. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I was just looking at the gambling stocks with the NFL season underway now. MGM is up 1.7%, not bad. Flutter, which has been fluttering kind of a bit, it was on a roll and now it's had a little bit of a sideways move here. It's up 0.5% this morning. DraftKings is down 1.3%. And then SRAD, which I like, that's the Sport Radar Group, which does a lot of the statistics and whatnot in the technology platform. It's down 1.1%. And then the other player seems to be Genius Sports, G-E-N-Y. It's down 1.3% after last night's kickoff and defeat of the Cowboys by the Eagles. Tech tycoons praise Trump at White House dinner. You know, I like the fact that he's meeting with different groups on a regular basis and updating them, not only with the press, but with leaders across America. I would just say the energy Trump has. I was trying to think in my mind, how much more energy does he have and how many more events is he doing than Biden was doing? It's almost like it seems like 100-1.
Oh, Biden, just press conferences. I mean,
it's just unbelievable. I mean, guy is on the move all the time.
Yeah, at one point, I mean, I think during the Biden administration, I don't know if he like addressed the press for like, I mean, it was months,
Tech tycoons praise Trump at White House dinner. Okay, whether you like the guy or not, he hosted a high-profile tech tycoon event, and they praised him for his efforts to promote investments in chip manufacturing. That's been a big big priority of the Trump administration, to not be so dependent upon Taiwan and to manufacture chips. And obviously, I mean, they've invested in Intel. Intel's kind of gone back and forth across the line whether or not they want to be in the forge business, forging those chips. But it sounds like definitely the investment by the U.S. is pushing them in the direction of, yes, we want you producing chips. Seems to me like we need to learn how to do what Taiwan Semiconductor is doing. Tech CEOs Tim Cook and OpenAI Sam Altman said thank you to Trump. Now, I don't know if they're just kissing the ring and or kissing the you-know-what, but they're there and they're praising him. Thank you for being such a pro-business, pro-innovation president, and whether you like the guy or not, he has been pro-business and he has been pro-innovation. As long as you're producing in the U.S., I guess. Altman says it's a very refreshing change. Of course, Sam Altman, well-known, the AI pioneer. Earlier in the day, CEO Sundar Pichai of Google, he's had a good week. IBM yeah. CEO Chairman Arvind Krishna were at the White House to attend a meeting of the White House Task Force on AI Education hosted by First Lady Melania Trump. Now, I don't know what her credentials are in AI, but she looked good there at the podium, and they're you know, getting input, the pitfalls, the pros, the cons of AI. There's definitely a lot of dangers there. But Microsoft, NVIDIA, Amazon, Google all had a seat at the table there. And, of course, Trump was sitting next to Mark Zuckerberg. That had to be a little bit uncomfortable. You know, pass the butter, Zuckerbucks. Can you pass the salt, please? Who was seated next to Trump. And Zuckerberg was asked by Trump about the crackdown on speech in the UK. Zuckerberg says, oh, I hadn't been listening. And he says, Trump says, this is the beginning of your political career. No, it's not, said Zuckerberg with a chuckle. And, you know, Trump must watch the news. He leaned over to Sundar Pichai of Alphabet and said, you had a nice day yesterday, and we did too, with owning a nice position in Google. Okay, yes, the trade deal with Japan is finally inked. It's final until a federal judge throws it out and tosses it. And like I say, South Korea is on the losing end of that deal. I'm sure they'll work out something, though. South Korea is a pretty good friend of the U.S., not butting up with China at all, or North Korea at all. Barry, there's good news for you. Now, you're flying into San Jose. I'm going to fly into SFO, San Francisco, just because there's more flights and whatnot and a better food court. Waymo receives a permit to operate at the San Jose airport. So I've booked you a Waymo.
Hey, let's do it and we'll give it a shot.
It goes on the freeway at 75 miles per hour, arrives at the Marriott in San Jose, hopefully, you know, just in time for the workshop Tuesday.
Maybe
night.
We'll do it on the return trip to the airport. At least then, I'll be present for the
week. We'll put Edie in a Waymo, and if she makes it, then we'll do it. But if she doesn't make it, we'll get a ride in a manned car. But there's another city. I mean, San Jose would obviously be a big one with all the tech workers there. I'm sure they want to get in those Waymos. San Jose is called the Mineta, San Jose Mineta International. That's the first international airport in California and the second in the world to welcome Waymo to its terminals. Mm. So there you go. I don't know when they'll be ready, but I would guess that you might be able to hail a Waymo when you get there. The company already operates at Phoenix Sky Harbor International. So Edie could actually take a Waymo to the airport in Phoenix and then get on one to the hotel from the Rivian lays off 1.5% of workers. Now, that's not a lot, but it's part of the slowdown. You know, we saw big layoffs at the other car maker that's trying to make a run of it and not doing too well.
Lucid,
and Rivian's going to lay off 1.5 as it prepares for a cheaper R2 SUV. That's about 150 people that are going to get the axe. But, you know, I think Rivian is going to be a survivor. Rivian's backing comes from Amazon.
Right. Yeah.
But Saudi Arabia, I'm sure, is able to keep the other one afloat, Lucid afloat. Now, here's a bond offering I want you to look into. Bombardier. Okay. Now, you think of them as just jet skis, but, you know, they compete with Embraer in those regional jets, don't forget. Bombardier's out of Canada, 6.75%. That goes out to 2033. That's an 8-year. I wouldn't mind 6.75% for the next 8 years, as long as Bombardier remains in business. That's a pretty good return, but of course, Bombardier trades on the pink sheets, I believe. But it is a sizable company out of Canada, definitely worth looking into. 6.75%. We'll be right back.
What? This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Some charts that I've noticed here early on that are kind of interesting. Well, number one, I mean Broadcom. Broadcom is up 10.5% right now. It is starting to come back a little bit. But it seems that on the losing end of this Broadcom news, NVIDIA, that's kind of a weak chart now on NVIDIA. We did cut back on our NVIDIA holding fairly significantly, right, Barry? I mean, you did the sell not too long ago, but we took quite a bit of, I don't know how
anybody.
Big of a...
Yeah, it was anyone basically that had more than, you know, say, call it 7.4 to be exact, but 7.5% of NVIDIA. If it was, you know, if you had, you know, some of those positions had grown to some, you know, sometimes 13% or so, and you know, it's prudent to kind of cut that back a little bit. We're still, you know, still what our biggest position, I believe, but we've certainly
trimmed it a lot.
Know, took some gains there, and looks like may have a different an extra player there. It was interesting. You saw Broadcom with the I think they're going to work with. I know they're
AI.
Working with, yep.
Open AI is going to order chips from them.
And then they're also they said I don't know if they named who the buyer was, but they've got about a $10 billion order.
Customer.
I guess.
Yeah, the unknown. I mean, they must have signed an NDA or something because they're not disclosing who it is. Also on the downside here, and a chart that's really weakening a lot, is AMD. So I'm thinking that Broadcom's gains and their news come at the expense of the other two because AMD is selling off quite a bit. And another one, Palantir, it's kind of weak. It's down 4% today. I also noticed Circle is getting hit pretty hard today. I'm not a fan of Circle at all. On the upside, Tesla. I know that he's negotiating. They're negotiating a $1 trillion pay package for our friend Elon. Now, what was Otani? He was just short of a trillion, wasn't it? 800 billion or something?
Yeah,
no, 800 million, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was close to a billion, but yeah.
Yeah, close to a billion. Not quite a trillion. That'll maybe 5 years from now, there'll be some guy out of Japan that's worth that. But anyways, a $1 trillion pay package. I mean, that's over many years, okay? And he's also trying to get the shareholders to invest Tesla money in his venture, his AI venture. I think the Tesla car business is a little bit in trouble and slowing down, and he's looking for ways to keep Tesla's stock juiced. But Tesla's having a fairly good day, and I see the Nuke stocks are kind of having – so AI – let's just say that AI itself is getting hit a little bit today with the Nuke stocks, AMD, NVIDIA, Palantir, all to the downside. I think there was a note from Goldman Sachs saying there are some weak spots starting to show up in the AI space. So that may be what's doing that. You got a new player in automated driving systems. Maybe they already were a player, but Qualcomm is teaming up with BMW. I mean, that's a pretty good customer to get. Qualcomm continues to struggle, however. It struggled for a long, long time.
And although it's perking up a little bit here, it just does not have much growth these days. Low double-digit growth. It's still a double-digit grower, but they're going to get into the well, I think they might already be in it with their Snapdragon automated driving system. Pony is going to pony up and bring robo-taxis to Qatar. And, of course, we saw a lot of Qatar when Trump did his Mideast trip to Qatar and Abu Dhabi and Dubai and Saudi Arabia, et cetera. And we saw, you know, quite advanced cities over there or quite modern. And that seemingly would be a pretty good market for Pony. Pony's been all over the place. That's a Chinese automated driving company. It's been weak, it's been strong, it's been weak. Right now I would say it's pretty mediocre stock as far as the chart goes. Kathy Woods backing up the Cybertruck. I don't know if she drive. I know she was driving a Tesla. I'm sure she's got a Cybertruck too. And investing in Figma. Well, you know, I'm just not
already
a fan.
That's what I want to know, because she's, you know, it's like, I don't know, I was trying to figure out if she's adding to a position, because the position's down 20%, and that's why she made that purchase. But I was trying to figure out if she already owns some Figma. I guess if you, you know, if you like it at, if you like it at, you know, what, 100 and what's it at,
well,
$51,
it's,
then you,
it,
you know.
It went as high as 200. It came public at 33, just about 6 or 7 weeks ago. It shot up to 150. I gotta believe she owned a bunch on the, you know, she does get into private stocks now before the IPO in her ARK fund, and now it's hitting 52. It's lost 70% of its value in 6 weeks. And it does look like I need to add this one to the app, which I'll do post-haste. I kind of miss this one. Figma is a $26 billion company that offers browser platforms for developers, product managers, and marketers, headquartered in San Francisco, California. So it is a recent IPO. It was a hot one. And now it's not so hot. That's a terrible chart on that stock. But she buys as the stock sinks. She bought 100,000 shares after it tumbled 20% following its first earnings report as a public company. Their sales were up 41%. That's very good sales growth. They made 6 cents. I think the street was looking for more than that. So anyways, if you like Kathy Woods and you think she's a good stock picker, she's buying Figma, 100,000 shares. BioNTech rises as breast cancer drug shows positive phase 3 results. Well, that's a French company. It was a partner with Pfizer on the vaccine, or Moderna on the vaccine. This must be pretty significant development, because I always look at see how the stock is reacting. BNTX, actually it's German company. Up 10.2% on that news of a breast cancer drug, Duality. Let's see, what they don't have the name of the drug here, but anyways, it's in trials and good results. Okay, global chip equipment revenue topped $65 billion in the first half of this year. That's up 24% year over year. And that's why the semiconductor sector is still one of the most robust sectors out there, even though it does have its ups and downs for sure. It tends to be a bit on the volatile side. Look at NVIDIA and Broadcom, or look at NVIDIA, Broadcom, and AMD, two on the downside, one on the upside today. Oklo, it looks like Tennessee's becoming a big player in nuclear. You know, we had the news of the seven small modular reactors that SMR is going to build for the Tennessee Valley Water Authority, or Tennessee Valley Authority. And Oklo is going to build a plant to recycle nuclear waste. I know they used to dump that stuff out in western Utah, southwestern Utah, in a dump. You didn't want to live downstream from that, for sure. But Oklo's going to recycle nuclear waste back into fuel.
Why just Tennessee Valley? I mean, it's just interesting because obviously a lot of that, you know, their power to generate it over the years was you know,
water
dams, right? And so now, you know, going, I don't see us getting too many more dams approved in terms of you know, from a EPA standpoint. But you know, they're moving into, you know, every different way that we can make power is really you know, where it's at right now, particularly with AI.
And then here's one I've never seen before. I've seen companies blame all kinds of different factors for lowering their guidance. Orsted is cutting their fiscal year EBITDA guidance. And it's a wind company because wind speeds have been lower in 2025 than in previous years. Okay. The answer for them is blowing in the wind, and the stock is down on that news. That's a new one for me. We'll be right back. Final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And, boy, quite a change in the market here. I don't know what the news is, but something while we're doing this show. The Dow is now down 361, and the NASDAQ is down 132. And, you know, I did see that big change in NVIDIA. I don't know if it's has to do with the earnings reports and the news conference that Broadcom had afterwards. They seem to be on the upside of all of that, and AMD seems to be on the downside along with NVIDIA.
We hit record highs before the show started.
We had record highs going on. It may just be a good dose of Friday profit-taking. But I'm not seeing any other news here. 4.08% still on that 10-year, which we haven't seen that in a long, long time. So let's look at Broadcom here, AVGO, which I consider to be, you know, number four, number three, given the day, best chip stock out there. $1.5 trillion. It's one of those trillion-dollar babies. Maybe we should make, there should be an ETF, the trillion-dollar ETF, just trillion-dollar companies. They have one thing in common, Barry. They've been successful, right? I mean, I'd rather own a company that's hit a trillion than one that's hit 100 million. It just means they've been successful. And here you've got Broadcom at $1.57 trillion, up 9.9% today. They've got, the CEO has pledged to stay on longer. That's being greeted with. Now, here's, you know, look at Broadcom over the years. Broadcom's right up there, maybe one of the 10 best stocks of the last decade. I thought it was getting a little richly priced myself. And we did cut Broadcom. We owned it in the premiere. I just wanted to lower as the market got up there, into which it's still there, nosebleed valuations. I started trimming a little bit around the edges is the way I would put that. And Broadcom was one of the ones that was kind of trading weak at the time. This was about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I did cut it. But it's having a heck of a good day. Over the last 10 years, Broadcom has delivered to investors 41% per year, Barry, in total returns. That's the average. No wonder it's a trillion-dollar stock.
Yeah, right. It doesn't take long to get that at that pace, right?
Nope. And over the last 3 years, the stock has delivered 86% per year to investors, while the S&P is 22%. You know, most people that I talk to, I sat next to a guy on the plane coming home from California, and he was saying, oh, I got an LPL advisor. He's made me money. And, you know, I just started talking a little bit about, you know, a lot of times I said, those guys got you in stocks like Disney and Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola and John, that have averaged 1% or 2% a year over the last 10 years. And most people don't realize that. Maybe you ought to just take a look at, you know, here I showed him where my app was on the on his iPhone. I said, download the app and look up your stocks. I don't think people realize how poorly. That's the first thing you should look at when your broker, your advisor buys the stock in your portfolio, or when you get your statement and you open it up, you know, about the first week of every month, just write down the 10-year track record, 5-year track record, 3-year track record of the funds that you own, of the ETFs that you own, of the stocks that you own. Are they even keeping up with the S&P 500? Well, you could say, well, I'm in an asset allocation. A bond fund's not meant to be keeping up with the S&P 500. Well, then forget about the relative performance against the S&P. Just look at the absolute performance. And if you see 2% over the last 10 years, 1.5% over the last 5 years, your money's not working very good or very hard for you. And I was shocked, you know, as I hadn't looked at bond funds for a while. We don't own any. That's why I don't look at them. But we had somebody transfer in a bunch of bond funds, and I was shocked at how poorly they have performed, which shoots a big hole in that 60-40, 70-30, 80-20 asset allocation model. But I'm also, I mean, I think you could ask ChatGPT, how much money is parked in those bond funds earning 1% or 2%, and then you say it's no wonder that the average financial firm out there, like mine, are growing by about 2% a year. That's the average, 2% per year. I've been told that by M&A advisors, merger and acquisition advisors. This is the average, which makes, you know, one that's growing at a faster rate than that attractive to buyers. But the buyers are settling for 2% growers just to add to their AUM. And, you know, I am in an industry where there's a lot of consolidation taking place. It's one of the hottest industries in the entire market as far as the Mercers of the world and
The number of transactions out there.
It goes on and on and on. There's $1 trillion companies now. Cap Trust has more than $1 trillion under management. They've
Fisher
done it through
sold,
acquisitions.
Yeah, remember Fisher sold part of their company. Remember, I don't know, maybe a couple of years back.
Yet for a billion to the Saudi Arabia wealth management fund or the sovereign fund. And, you know, I mean, these consolidators are buying these companies that are 2% growers. Wow, I just don't know that the consolidators are making good investments and they're paying big fat multiples for these 2% growers. You wouldn't do that unless you have a lot of money that's been given to you by private equity, which that's the case. You know, the Bain Capitals of the world, a lot of private equity chasing financial advisor firms, and the middleman are, you know, the Cap Trust, and there's several of them. Wealth Enhancement Group. I could rattle off 30 names that are out there aggregating and buying up these big companies. Anyways, look at the returns of the companies you're buying, please. Okay, to reserve a spot to the San Francisco trip, 855-611-BEST, either an appointment with us on Thursday or a seat at the workshop on Tuesday, to just get the 4-week trial to our newsletter to see how we're doing, to check on our performance. go to GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.